This week's question from Jesus is, why are you so afraid? There is an internet meme, and Rick Warren has claimed also a few years ago that "do not fear" was present 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year. I thought, cool, right? That's pretty neat. Except when I did several searches using different words and phrases, I couldn't find that many. But there are still well over 100 admonitions in the Bible of "do not fear," "don't be afraid." What are you afraid of? Take heart, be courageous, don't worry. That all lead us to the conclusion that God does not want fear to be a part of our lives. I want to take a little quiz, kind of like with the kids, right? So we're going to do this with the grown-ups. And I'm going to give you some quotes, and you get to vote on whether it's in the Bible or not in the Bible. Okay? So, "a perfect love casts out fear." If you think that's Bible, raise your hand. Okay, if you think it's not Bible, raise your hand. Okay, that's 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4, it's in the Bible, okay? Second one, "the only thing we have to fear is fear itself." Is that in the Bible? Not in the Bible, raise your hand. If it's not in the Bible, okay, that's Franklin Roosevelt. Said that during World War II, okay? "I was afraid because I was naked." Is that Bible? Raise your hand. Okay, not Bible, raise your hand. All right, Adam said that in the garden. So you're right, that was in the Bible. "I am young in years, and you are old. That is why I was fearful, not daring to tell you what I know." Is that in the Bible? Raise your hand. Okay. Not in the Bible, raise your hand. All right. I think one person got it right. That was in the Bible. That is Elihu, and he's speaking with Job. And when he waited till everybody else would shut up. All right. Last one. "Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering." Is that Bible? Not Bible. Okay, that's Yoda. All right, so maybe if I'd have said, "fear leads to anger," you would have gotten it right that way. But I didn't do that. So anyway, authors, characters in their writings, they've said a lot of things about fear, and some are wise and some are not so wise. If you look up quotes on fear, there's athletes and celebrities and academics and politicians and theologians. And there's all kinds of quotes about fear, and some are wise and some are not so wise. I like what Henry Ford said. Henry Ford said, "one of the greatest discoveries a man makes, one of his great surprises, is to find he can do what he was afraid he couldn't do." Plato said, "we can easily forgive a child who is afraid of the dark. The real tragedy of life is when men are afraid of the light." Some wise thoughts there. Sun Tzu, who wrote The Art of War, said, "if you know the enemy and you know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles." That's from around the 6th century BC, some 600 years before Christ walked the earth. And it isn't the Bible, but if I look at that quote through the lens of Scripture, it actually makes sense. The Bible tells us we are in a war. It's a spiritual war. And we battle daily, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the forces of this dark world. And the Bible tells us who our enemy is. Peter says that our enemy is our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And it also tells us, or helps us, to know our enemy. In 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, Paul wrote, "we are not ignorant of Satan's designs." Now, here's what I know about myself. My spirit is willing, but far too often the flesh is weak. And the enemy knows how to tempt me. But I also know that I'm not alone in this battle. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. And when I march forward under His strength and in His wisdom, there is nothing to be afraid of. John wrote in 1 John that we are from God and we have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So when I know my enemy is Satan, and I know the one living in me has already defeated Satan, there should be no fear when I go into battle. In a way, Jesus is trying to get that into the heads and the hearts of the 12 today. He is trying to get them to understand that when he is with me, or when he is with them, and later when the Holy Spirit is in them, there is no reason to fear. And yet we still fear, don't we? parents, I'm sure you've all experienced it. You wake in the middle of the night and you see the silhouette of your child in the doorway, clutching the stuffed animal or the blanket. Or maybe they come and they tap you on your shoulder. Mama, I'm scared. Dad, I had a bad dream. And hopefully, we don't shame them too much or we're too rough. But you know, you're groggy, right? You get awakened from a nice slumber and there's the child and you try to show them there's nothing under the bed. There's nothing in the closet. Thunder won't hurt you. It was only a dream. Go back to bed. It's nothing. And yet during our waking hours, as we contemplate life, we will fear our future or our finances or health issues or even death. Lots of things that we fear. And we sure don't want anyone else to want anyone to tell us, oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. Don't worry about it. Things that might even overwhelm your thoughts and make you not be able to go to sleep at night. And it's nothing doesn't make it go away, does it? It sure seems like Jesus chastises the 12 for their fear. And since the Bible says over and over again, though maybe not 365 times, do not fear, maybe we need to look at what the Bible says about that. How to handle that. And so to do that, we're looking at Jesus' complete and utter authority over a terrible storm and a fear-inducing storm that they're going to go through. And so Matthew 8:23, it says when he got into the boat, the disciples followed him. And I want to stop and notice a couple things right there. This is a perfect opportunity to compare the storms of our life to this storm, okay? Not thunderstorms, but relationship storms, financial storms, health storms, all the things that we might fear. And even though I make this comparison, I just want everybody to be clear that this is 100% a real storm that they're going through. It is a potentially deadly storm. Jesus, with a word from his mouth, supernaturally and immediately stills it. It is not a story. It is not a metaphor. It is history. The second thing is this upcoming storm didn't take Jesus by surprise. He knew it was coming, and he still led them into the boat. Now, at least four of the 12 are fishermen on the Sea of Galilee. They know the sea. They have dealt with those dangerous waters. And if they thought Jesus was wrong to go out on the water right then because of a storm, they would have said something, because all the other times they would argue about things Jesus did if they thought Jesus was wrong. Jesus always put them in their place, but they would argue. The Sea of Galilee is 685 feet or so below sea level. It is surrounded by hills that rise up over 2,000 feet. And storms can come up and over those hills, and you can't even see them coming. And the cold air whips down suddenly, and it creates this very sudden storms, very big storms, high waves that could capsize a boat. And so even if they thought a storm wasn't coming, they wouldn't know. And if they did think one was coming, they would have argued. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew. Because, well, he's Jesus. He just knows. He doesn't have Doppler radar. He doesn't have the weather app on his phone. He just knows. And so I want you to think about this. He led them into the storm. And Jesus will use the storms in your life. He will use the trials that you go through to test your faith, to refine and purify you, to make you more like him, to make you reach out for him. Maybe even to put you in a place where he is the only one you can turn to. And so if storms arise in your life, but you're following Jesus, that's the best place you can be. And so we want to learn that we can control fear by following Jesus wherever he leads you. Jesus will never lead you where you should not be. But when you turn to the right or the left, okay, when Jesus is leading you and you go to one way or the other, you leave the path of Christ. When you take the wide road that's easy underfoot instead of the narrow road, you leave the path of Christ. And when you leave the path of Christ, that's when you get into troubles that breed fear. You know, one fear a lot of people have is the fear of getting caught. Getting caught in a lie, getting caught stealing, getting caught in an affair. If you're following Jesus, there's nothing to get caught about, because you're walking with him and you're obeying him. So there's this whole list of fears we can just avoid by following Jesus, even if he is leading you into what seems like dangerous waters. And Jesus will never lead you where he cannot keep you. Psalm 23:4, the psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." He says, "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, the shadow valley is somewhere Jesus walks with you. He doesn't take you there and abandon you there. If you're following Jesus, you're never alone there. He takes you through the valley. Now, he may not still the storm as quickly as he did with the 12, but with Christ, just like the 12, he'll get you to the other side. It says, "Behold, there was a great storm that arose on the sea so that the boat was being swamped by the waves." Jesus was asleep. And so you know what? Even when you're panicking, Jesus isn't. Like I said, the storm didn't take him by surprise. He surely wasn't going to lead them into the sea to die. So if you're following him, don't think that he's left you. The Lord is your shepherd. What do sheep do? Sheep follow the shepherd. And so even if you follow him into a dark place, he knows you'll get through it. And he knows you'll get to the other side. And there's nothing to fear. As long as you follow the shepherd, he'll protect you from your enemies, right? "I will fear no evil." And so the storm, it arises very suddenly. And I just think, well, what are your storms? What are the things in your life, some maybe you've lived with for a while, and maybe some have just suddenly come up, things that are making you afraid? Things that make you feel down in your spirit. "Lord, I'm perishing. I'm dying here." And just, I want you to identify those just to yourself, just mentally. If you want to jot them down on your sheet, you can. If you're the note taker type, identify those fears. Is not Jesus Christ bigger than anything you've thought of? Is not Jesus Christ more powerful than anything that frightens you? And does not Jesus Christ have authority over anything the enemy can bring at you? You follow the shepherd, you don't have to be afraid. Jesus is asleep in the stern of the boat, and they woke him up. Did they need to wake him up? Well, they didn't need to wake him up. They thought they needed to wake him up. Jesus had the situation under control. And you know, there are sometimes we feel like the shepherd's not right next to us, or we feel like he's not paying attention to what we're going through. He's still there. He's still in control. He's still in authority, and he has your back. And Jesus said, "Why are you so afraid, O you of little faith?" And he rose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. If you had been in the boat with Jesus and the 12, the question, "Why are you so afraid?" You probably thought that was a stupid question, right? Why are you so afraid? Look around. The waves are coming in. The boat is filling up. What do you mean, why are we so afraid? You know, Jesus wasn't asking to receive information. He knows what's going on. He's asking to get them to see where their faith is. Why are you so afraid? Luke's account, Jesus says, "Where's your faith?" And Mark, it writes, "Have you still no faith?" As in, I thought you'd have figured this out a little bit by now. And so the second thing that we want to do is we want to control our fear by replacing it with faith. You know, Jesus didn't do miracles just to show off. "Hey guys, watch this. I'm going to walk on water. Can you do that?" Peter's like, "Well, I'll try." Lepers show up. "Hey, watch this. This is going to be really cool," right? Jesus had a purpose for every miracle he did. There was an end goal. It's not just the show. So yes, people were healed, but the healing revealed his power. They revealed the love that he has in his person. Raising the dead, it's like, what a glorious miracle. But it's more than just bringing somebody back for a few more months or a few more years. It taught people that he was the Messiah. It brought glory to God's kingdom. And it opens people's hearts to new levels of faith in the Son of God. And so Jesus shows supernatural authority over every aspect of life, seen and unseen. And he did this to reveal who he was and to teach about the kingdom and to bring glory to the Father and to grow faith in his followers. And so this question, why are you so afraid, O you of little faith? Turn that around into a statement. If you have faith, you don't have to be so afraid. If you truly believe, Jesus is saying, what I've been telling you about myself, you would know that I am with you and I will keep you. A couple of weeks ago, I said that our faith is not in an outcome. It is in a person. It is in the person of Jesus Christ. And think about your fears in that context. We fear outcomes. And the biggest probably outcome that we fear is death. That's what they told Jesus. They said, you know, they went to him and woke him up and said, save us, Lord, we're perishing, we're dying. Jairus, the synagogue ruler, came to see Jesus because his daughter was sick. And after being sidetracked by another miracle on the way, news came that Jairus' daughter had died. And it says that Jesus overheard what they said and told Jairus, don't fear, only believe. And Jesus brought her back to life. Last week at the Tuesday Bible study, we got a little sidetracked. Someone asked, what happens when we die? And it just led to this really good discussion about heaven and our souls and the return of Jesus and faith. And what makes death so scary is it's the unknown. Because we don't know the outcome. But if you know Jesus, you do know the outcome. Even when this body is gone, I know whom I believed, and I know the glory of heaven that far outshines anything that I might be afraid of in this life, and it's all because of Jesus. I think of some of the fears exhibited in the Bible. You know, Peter was afraid of what the circumcised party might say about him when he ate with the Gentiles. And so there's this fear of what other people think about us. Isn't it more important what Jesus thinks about us than what other people think about us? James and John and Andrew and Peter, Jesus just said, follow me. And he said, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And so there's the potential fear of losing your livelihood. There's fear of change. Some people are just terrified by change. Fear of leaving your family. But they were following Jesus. So Jesus says, you don't have to be afraid. And you've heard the phrase, a fate worse than death, right? And I'm sure some people, there are some fears that they fear more than death. And I just think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being thrown into a furnace. And that the fear that could have gripped them, except they weren't afraid. Because they knew that God would be with them. I think about Jonah. Some people have that fear of drowning or that's even greater than death. It's the process. Daniel in the lion's den. And the Lord delivered every one of them. And I think about martyrs, people who were burned at the stake or thrown to the lions or in the Colosseum made to fight gladiators and drawn and quartered or beaten. And they knew by faith that the Lord was with them and the Lord enabled them to endure for His glory. And then they took them to be with Him in heaven. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter. He raised a widow's son. He raised Lazarus, who had been dead 4 days in the tomb. And you know what? He died on the cross. And on the third day, he defeated sin and death through his own resurrection. So that through our faith in him, we might have eternal life. The gospel should be our greatest defense against fear. Because we know that Jesus defeated death. He has authority over the things that people are most afraid of. Authority over the wind and the sea, authority over the physical world. He turns water to wine and multiplies loaves and fishes. He has authority over disease and demons. Don't you think he has authority over whatever it is you're afraid of? And so come to him in faith and give him your fears. 1 John 5:4 says, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcome the world, our faith. Now, Jesus would tell us along with Jairus, don't be afraid, only believe. And as Jesus spoke to the wind and the waves, peace, be still, there was a great calm. Let him speak those same words to your fears. Let him replace it with peace. You know, usually when a storm blows through, it gradually fades out. And even if the winds suddenly stop, the water remains choppy for a little while, but not this time. Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves, and it was completely still, and the 12 are dumbfounded. It says they marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?" And that's an important question we all need to answer if we're going to have our faith overcome our fear. What kind of man is Jesus? We have witnessed the power aspect of Christ, but Jesus balances his power with love. And I think that we need to control our fear by driving it out with love. Fear will readily fill the emptiness in your life. But if you fill that emptiness with faith in Christ and the love of Christ, fear has no place to go. And so let his love so overwhelm you that you have no reason to fear. Romans 5:8 says that this is the love of God for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, nothing in this world or the next, nothing seen or unseen, can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. And just as you don't want your children to live in fear because you love them, Jesus doesn't want you to live in fear either. And so for believers, he has poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit his love. God has poured his love into our hearts. Now there's something that we need to all work on. I know I need to work on it, and that's loving each other. See, God's poured his love into us, but then he's called us to love one another. He gave us each other. He gave us the church. One reason Christ died for the church is so we can minister to each other, so we can love each other. Jesus gave a new commandment. He says, this is the commandment to love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. And so God pours his love into our hearts, and we need to pour that love into each other. Now, when we all get together, what do we usually do? What do we talk about? Well, we talk about the weather. Talk about the Chiefs going to the Super Bowl or the big fight at the end of the KUK State game this week. We might talk about our kids and our grandkids. You know what we usually don't talk about? How are you doing today? You know, I got this thing in my life and it's scaring me to death. We don't do that. How often do we really share our fears and our struggles with each other? Not too often is my guess. We keep these things to ourselves because we perceive them as weaknesses and we are afraid for anyone to see us weak or vulnerable. We're called to love each other, to help each other with our fears. But if no one is aware of your fears, how can they love you with the love of Christ to help get you through those fears? And so we need to let the love of Christ flow through us and fill us so we can help others dispel that fear. And we have to be willing to be loved. That's hard for some folks. 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. And so the perfect love of Christ poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we pour into the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, has the power to fill you and cast the fear from our lives. Paul told Timothy that God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. And so they ask about Jesus. Who is this man? Who is this man? There's a new song I've been listening to called Jesus, You Alone. And it says, who is the great King of glory seated on high in the heavens? Jesus, you alone. I searched the world for a love that could fill my heart, nothing compares to the wonder of who you are. Who is this man? He's the creator of the universe. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. It is in him that we live and move and have our being. And he loves us enough to die for us. And he pours that love into us and tells us over and over and over again, have no fear. Mark's account of Jesus calming the storm, it says that they were filled with great fear and said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? It's kind of funny, isn't it? They were filled with fear before Jesus commanded the winds, and then after they were stopped, they were filled with fear again. Here's the last thing I think we need to do is let's replace our out-of-control fear with a good fear. Wait, what? I thought fear was bad. Well, out-of-control fear is bad, okay? Letting it consume you is bad. It's not wrong to be afraid to jump in front of a moving bus, right? That's just not very wise. You know, I'm afraid to jump in front of a moving bus. I don't want to do that. That's a good fear. You remember when they came out? I can remember this, when they came out and said cholesterol was bad. All cholesterol was bad, right? If you eat eggs for breakfast, you might as well just smoke a pack of cigarettes a day. That's how bad cholesterol is. And then all of a sudden they told us there's also some good cholesterol. What? Eggs are okay. Sometimes it actually helps you. There is a fear that is good. Okay, not all fear is bad. There is a fear that is good, and it's the fear of the Lord. It is not a fear that makes you shrink back from God. Okay, we don't act toward God like a dog who's been whipped his entire life. And then when you lift your hand to pet it, it shrinks back. We don't. That kind of fear comes from a lack of faith, and it displeases God. But there is a fear, a reverent fear of the power and purity of God. And it's a fear like the apostles had after Jesus calmed the storm. This man is entirely other. He is unlike anything we have ever seen. And it's the same fear that caused Moses to take his sandals off in the presence of a burning bush. And when we understand and hold in awe the power and the presence of God, all other fear will flee. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. And Jesus says, don't fear man. We don't fear demons, okay? But we do have a fear of the Lord. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He doesn't want us to fear, but we hold him in awe and respect. There's only one who holds the power over our soul, and that is Jesus Christ. And it says that he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man Jesus Christ, whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising Jesus from the dead. Folks, this is real simple. We don't have to fear judgment. When we are born again, new creations, having received Christ as our Savior, we take on his righteousness. And there's no maybe there. We are assured of a place in heaven with the Lord. And we don't stand condemned. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Jesus also said that those who have not believed, well, they're already condemned because they have not believed in the Son of God. Anyone who refuses to place faith in Jesus Christ is self-condemned. Christ is simply the only one with the power to carry out the sentence. And so we don't have to shrink back in fear, only believe and receive his righteous sacrifice. So the fear of the Lord is a good fear. Psalm 19 says it is clean, enduring forever. It's an awesome respect for his holiness and his power. All other fear? God doesn't want you to live in that. You are not made for fear. Jesus said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so why are you so afraid? Eliminate your fear by following Christ. If he leads you into a storm or into the shadow valley, you will always come out into the kingdom. Eliminate fear by replacing it with faith. Faith that the person of Jesus Christ is all powerful and all sufficient to keep you in the midst of your fears. Eliminate your fear by replacing it with love. God is love, and the love of God is stronger than any fear known to man. I want to leave you with the words of the Lord from the prophet Zephaniah. He says, "On that day shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. And he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exalt over you with loud singing." Let's pray. Father God, you are not a God that would lead us into fear. But Lord, you are a God of peace, a God of joy, and a God of love. Lord, I just pray that you will open our eyes to the power and authority that you have in our life. And let us live in the love that you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.